Okay, today we would like to pray for a good worship and Bible study together. Want to say thanks for all of us having this opportunity to worship together.
Yes.
And want to pray that Rich has a good word today.
Yes,
and it's received well by everybody. Amen.
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 Well, we're in Psalm 75. And let me see. And this psalm is from, it's a psalm or a song of Asaph. And he was the chief musician. And so, who would like to start reading verse 5?
What I've got New International, New Living, King James, or the Message. So you
whichever one you want to read.
Huh?
Whichever one you want to read is fine.
Let's go New Living. How far do you want me to go?
You want to read the whole, it's only 10 verses. You want to read the whole psalm, and
okay,
then we'll come back and thank you.
And that's what it says. We thank you. We thank you, O God. We give thanks because you are near.
Yes.
People everywhere tell of your wonderful deeds. God says, at the time I have planned, I will bring justice against the wicked. When the earth quakes and its people live in turmoil, I am the one who keeps its foundations firm. I warned the proud, stop your boasting. I told the wicked, don't raise your fists. Don't raise your fists in defiance at the heavens or speak with such arrogance. For no one on earth from east or west or even from the wilderness should raise a defiant fist. It is God alone who judges. He decides who will rise and who will fall. For the Lord holds a cup in his hand that is full of foaming wine mixed with spices. He pours out the wine in judgment, and all the wicked must drink it, draining it to the dregs. But as for me, I will always proclaim what God has done. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob, for God says, I will break the strength of the wicked, but I will increase the power of the godly.
That's good.
That's good.
And that was what?
New Living.
New Living. All right. I'm gonna read down to 4.
Are you all warm enough? Can you turn this off?
I'm gonna read down to 5. I'm gonna read it in the Amplified. And it says, We give praise and thanks to you, O God. We praise and give thanks, and your wondrous works declare that your name is near. And they who invoke your name rehearse your wonders. I think I'll just read that for now. I was going to read down further. Has anyone got anything they want to say about that?
Okay, which one?
All right, I just read the first verse.
Just the first verse.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
I like in the Message, it says, your name is our favorite word.
Yes.
So of every word there is out there, your name is our favorite.
Yes. I had looked up like different things to be said about where it says how we give thanks unto thee, and I was looking up thanks, and what I had on it was a public acknowledgement or celebration of divine goodness, gratitude, expression of gratefulness. And then on praise, I looked up, it said glorify, to worship, to value, commendation, and merit to God, who is all praiseworthy, and says laudable, and he is so worthy of all our praise. And I know it says that we should give thanks continually. That means no matter what our situations are, you know, giving thanks, you know, to him. Anyone else got anything they want to share?
I like in 1 Thessalonians, I mean, this boils it all down to one verse as far as what we are supposed to do and what is the will of God for our lives. I think you mentioned it last week, Debbie. Mm-hmm. And that is, rejoice always.
Yes.
Pray without ceasing. And in everything, like you were saying, everything, whatever happens, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
That's what you said, 1 Thessalonians what?
1 Thessalonians 5th chapter and 16th verse.
That's good. Very good. I was looking up all the scriptures. I have a Nave's topic of Bible, and it has, you can take any word, and it gives all the scriptures pertaining to that. And I was looking at all the scriptures on praise and thanks, you know, thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Tremendous in the word.
Enter his courts with thanksgiving.
Yes.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Right?
Yes. And then we was talking about his name. I was looking, it was said, his, well, which we've heard before, that the name of God is equivalent to his gracious presence in passages such as these, like in Deuteronomy 12:5. If someone can look and just talk about his name, Deuteronomy. It says, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of your tribe to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. And it was saying, in there it was capitalized his name, because his name is the place where the Lord himself chooses to dwell. And when it stands for God's presence, at the sanctuary, his name is shown in there, was capitalized. But most importantly, he dwells in us. Who is his sanctuary? We are his sanctuary. So that's yeah. All right, we'll go to another. Anybody got anything else you want, anything to share? It's talking about two where it says, when the proper time has come for executing my judgments, this is an amplified, I will judge uprightly, says the Lord. And God's time is always perfect. So, you know, we've talked about his timing, his timing, and how it's always perfect. It may not be when we want it or expect it or what, but he's always perfect in his timing and in his judgments. I know when Brother Austin was talking about his judgments and how just he is in
righteous.
Yes, righteous judgment. All right. Anyone, you want to read? Let me see. You've done two. We're in Psalm 75. And we're in verse 3. When the earth totters and all the inhabitants of it, it is I who will poise and keep steady its pillars. Selah, pause and calmly think of that.
What verse is that?
And that's verse 3. The earth. What does that say in the message?
Let's see. When the earth goes topsy-turvy and nobody knows which end is up, I nail it all down.
Isn't that good? You look at everything and it all looks topsy-turvy. Not just that, the earth out here, but our earth and things that's going on. We wonder what, and but we many times, we don't recognize that he's in control, and like you said, nails it all down. That is so good. That's good. Anyone got anything you want to share in that?
I can't get out of my mind the name.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And how the message says that it's our favorite word. Well, this is the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
they knew a Messiah was coming. I don't know, did they know it was Yeshua, or was Jesus a name that was used in the Old Testament? I mean, I don't think so. But if it was, it's Yeshua. But what's interesting is you go fast forward to the New Testament, then you say that name is above all names.
Yes.
Where every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. So you talk about a name that's above all names. There it is.
Yes.
And you know, it's just interesting how, what name were they using? What name was David using, assuming David wrote this?
Mm-hmm.
Was it Yahweh? Was it, you know, what name? You know, in other words, they don't actually give the word Lord or God so that you could look up that name. That they just use the word name.
Yes.
Anyway.
Which is his character, his nature.
Right.
Yes. All right, the next verse is, we just did what? Three. Oh, we did three, all right, four. And I said unto fools, deal not foolishly, and to the wicked, lift not up the horn. And in the Amplified, it says, I said to the arrogant and boastful, deal not arrogantly, do not boast, and to the wicked, lift not up the horn of personal aggrandizement. And I looked that word up. Says to make or appear greater or to exaggerate, you know, make or appear greater than what really is. And then the word aggressive, it says combative, militant, tending toward or practicing aggression, and this is really good, self-assertive, to dominate after and in disregards of others' rights. Determined or energetic pursuit of one's own ends. And I thought that was good that he was speaking. Say the fools, the wicked. What's that say in the Message, James?
Well, let me go back because I missed the line. With the Message, you don't get it verse by verse, so you have to kind of guess that a little
bit,
and I messed up.
All right.
Okay, so the one before that says, when the earth goes topsy-turvy and nobody knows which end is up, I nail it all down, but it's even better than that. I put everything in place again.
Ooh, yes.
In place again, which means that it was in place, it got out of place, now he's putting it back in place.
He's setting it in order.
Yeah.
He sets it in order.
The next verse says, I say to the smart alecks, that's enough. To the bullies, not so fast.
Very good. Very good. I looked up the word we was talking about, lift not up your horn, and I was looking up the word horn. Let me find it. And where it was telling how the horn is made of, like, it's, remember Brother Off was talking about a ram's horn, and is used to hold the oil for anointing, and also used as a trumpet. It's used to summon soldiers, like Phinehas in Judges 3:27, and it was used by Gideon. And the horn is also made of metal, shell, or bone, but the one that so stands out is the one that, the ram's horn that they used. It says it was used for anointing kings, and in worship, Jehoshaphat, triumph, and at the foundation of the second temple in Ezra, and at the dedication of the wall in Nehemiah. And it goes on down showing different places that the horn was used, figuratively and symbolic. And at the wall of Jericho, when they blew the horn, they all shouted and all, but I was just looking up the different places that the horn was used, and I think the one that stands out the most is the one that's made the ram's horn, which is made by God, you know, because it came from the ram.
I'm getting right into my sermon here, so I'll keep quiet. There's a lot of symbolism in the
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it, your horn, you're speaking forth, you know, it's coming out, it's speaking, and that's a horn. You look at symbolically or figuratively, you're looking at your horn is your mouth, your mouthpiece too is, yeah.
And the ram is a male sheep. Now you can go for days on that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you look at, I'm preaching my message here, but you look at Abraham and Isaac, and then you look at when John the Baptist said, here comes the Lamb, God who taketh away the sins of the world. There's a lot to that.
Tremendous. Yes.
Verse 3.
All right.
The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. And that particular word dissolved, as I look up the definition of it, dissolved is like a chemistry word. And you put in water, or you put sugar in water, and the sugar dissolves, you put salt in water, it dissolves. And it means to gradually become smaller or weaker before disappearing.
That's good.
It's like when Christ comes into a man, he dissolves everything in him. You know, all that hard stuff, all of a sudden, it turns into water, like the term chemistry is using. And it says, then he becomes smaller and weaker before he totally disappears. And Christ just takes over.
Absorbs, really absorbs, disappears, and then becomes one.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, the two together becomes one.
Right. So that's what he's referring to when he says the earth and all the inhabitants thereof will be dissolved through the power of Christ.
Thank you. That's good.
The first Adam is earthy. Jim's preaching my message.
You're getting all this confirmation. You know what to bring, don't you?
Isn't that something?
Yeah, the first Adam was earthy, and that's what this earth is referring to. The last Adam was born from heaven.
He dissolves the earth.
There you go. Shoot, we can go home early.
You know, I was curious down in 6 where it said, for not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south come promotion and lifting up. And they didn't name the north. And what have you had anything on the north? What comes from?
Well, like in Ezekiel, when they talk about the north, a lot of times, and again, I can't say this is in every instance, but the north sometimes is where the enemies are.
Yeah. Harshness.
All right, because I wonder, it said it did not name the north, and I was reading that, and it just said it come, and then here it says come promotion and lifting up. Does it say, what's it say in any other translations, or?
It's interesting, in New Living and Message, they don't even mention south either.
Oh, really? What's it in the? Oh, yeah, in King James.
It doesn't mention south in the NIV either.
What's the message say?
The message says, he is the one from east to west, from desert to mountains, he is the one.
East, west. Didn't say.
This one says south. I've got the same.
Which one do you have?
From the east or the west or from the desert can exalt themselves. I've got the same one you have.
Which one?
The same Bible.
That's the same.
Yeah, she's got
four,
the same Bible.
Oh, okay.
No one from the east or the west or from the desert can exalt themselves. The desert, why the difference in the desert? I mean, east and west.
Which, which one are you on?
Verse 6.
The desert to the mountains. Deserts are dry place.
I'm from the desert, so I'm thinking, what does the desert have to do with the east and the west?
Well, I don't know.
It's almost like saying,
well,
that's the south, or because we don't talk about the north. I'm just trying to understand why the significance of the desert, since they're already in the desert. So.
Well, I think what it's saying is that he's everywhere.
He's, thank you.
Whether you're in the desert, in a dry place, or whether you're on the mountaintop, you know, he's there.
I have here in Amplified, it has Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13. And it says, and you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will set upon the mount of assembly in the uttermost north.
He does say that.
Mm-hmm. Well, all the talk about the horns, that's probably where that saying came from, you know, don't blow your own horn.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about, you know, it's God that does. You can say whatever you want in self-aggrandizement about yourself, trying to promote yourself, but it's the Lord that does it.
Yeah, the definition of the word promotion even means the act or the fact of being raised in a position or rank.
Mm-hmm.
Being raised up or being promoted to a certain rank.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they're saying the Lord is the only one that can raise you up.
Mm-hmm.
You
know,
that's true. And give you authority.
Well, he was talking about in that Isaiah, I know he was talking about, I was looking up and how, and it said about in the 3rd century how they started putting that application to Satan. As, that has existed since the 3rd century, which I said, but Jesus is the light bearer. And he's the radiant, brilliant morning star. He calls himself that in Revelation and also in 2 Peter 2:21. And also speaks of King of Babylon, but they made it like it was Satan. And I remember Bill Britton spoke on that, and that, you know, when they said like he was an angel that fell, and that he that came from that, but it's not so.
Right.
That's not scriptural. It's not so. And they, you know, you've heard a lot of teachings on that.
Yeah.
That was Satan. He was an angel. Against God. But really, I can remember Bill Britton saying something, some of it was Adam, you know, when it was presented to him, you can be greater, you know, as great as God, and you can see Adam that, how, and we, this nature of ours has thinking that, you know, like you're saying, being greater than God, putting yourself above, you know, things that, you know, and that. But God is dealing with us that are true. We are priests and kings, and we are also bearing his light. So there's things, you look at things that they have, as scriptures have been twisted, and it's not truth.
And then you start getting confused and thinking, that's not what I thought out of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and
know,
it says in Revelation.
You're saying, well, Peter's church is the true church. What are you talking about? You know, I'm like, you know, because Catholics believe that, you know, it says we're going to build this church. We're going to
up on this rock.
On this rock,
but
we're going to build
true.
The church, and this is the true church. And I'm thinking, huh?
He was talking about one of the Pope's rings, one of the rubies.
You know, and it's hard to try and have a conversation or try to discuss your scripture with someone that believes something totally different, and
mm-hmm.
it's like you said, you know, we're not trying to say that, well, my church is better than yours. That's all about religion. It's about
mm-hmm.
the relationship with Christ.
Yes,
and
yes.
The church is the people, not the physical.
Yes.
Building.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Because we're the building.
We are the building. You know.
We're the sanctuary.
So,
his presence dwells in us.
This is a little off the beaten track. Did anybody ever see the Lieutenant Clouseau movie where the ring was stolen from the Pope and they called Lieutenant Clouseau in to find this big ruby ring? And Clouseau was at the Vatican talking to the Pope.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pope was describing this ring, how big and how many carats
mm-hmm.
it was and so on and so forth. And Clouseau looks at the Pope and says, well, I bet your wife was really upset. Anyway, back to this stuff.
Well, that was a good one, though.
Yeah, little old Adam creeps in every once in a while.
I just wanted to bring out something where it says invoke, I'm looking where the word is. Oh, where it says here, we declare your, back in verse 1, invoke your name, rehearse your wonders. And I was looking at that, invoke your, is to petition for help or support, to call or forth, to make an earnest request for, to put into effect or operation. And many times we don't go before God in this way. The first thing I think we should go before Him is in praise and thanks.
Yes.
Before we would even want to invoke a petition, you know, do a petition before Him. And then after that, it says to rehearse. And what we're rehearsing is really your name, who invoke your name and rehearse your wonders. And rehearsing His wonders is you're looking at everything He's ever done for you or for anyone else, and you look at the miracles He's performed, even in the smallest of things, even in the smallest of things. And it says to rehearse is to say again and again and to repeat, to recite aloud, to recount in order to present an account of. And so we say, oh, Lord, I thank you how we can look and see through it all the things that He has done, even many things maybe we have not even asked yet, have asked, but we see His hand, you know.
And those things that we don't see His hand in.
That's right. That's right.
And they're more than the things we can't see.
Exactly. Amen. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. You know, there was a sister, because I tell you how the group of us have met together. It's 8 of us. We're going to meet again February 20th. And the one sister, she's a nurse. And her daughter called her and said, something's wrong, you know, it's not right. And so she didn't call the squad, Christy, she called her mom. So her mom comes there. She's in a sweat, broke all out and everything, having pain. So the mom is saying she's undoubtedly having a heart attack.
Was the pain's in the chest
normally? And they take her to, lots of times women, it's not in the chest. Sometimes they don't even detect the heart attack of women because they're symptoms.
A week before. To get tested to see what's going on with her, and they
couldn't find anything. Then she's at home, didn't find anything, she's back at home, and then she said that she passed out, pain so bad she collapsed on the floor. And when she was out, she came to with like an electric shock. And when they took her back to the emergency room, this doctor, she said, her mom said, I know that only God had this doctor here detected. And they ran tests and did. She had, they call it the widow maker, said
yeah.
Men, it's never on women, they said. It's on men.
Isn't that what Joey had?
Mm-hmm. And that's what she had. And do you know, he believes, he said, the only way if you have collapsed and you're out is that they electric shock you. Mm-hmm. And her mom and they all know that God shocked her because she said she came to, she's at home by herself and on the floor and collapsed. And she came to with this shock going all through her body and she woke up. And the doctors, it's a miracle. They told her she should be dead. And I was just looking at how, and her mother was, of course, rehearsing to us, giving account, and we praised, looking at God, you know, spared, you know, her life and what He's done, and yes.
Not finished with it yet.
Mm-mm. Precious for mom and dad.
Not time for her to be promoted yet.
Mm-mm. That's right. Yes. All right. Oh, you know what I was talking about in verse 8, where it talks about the red wine, and when I looked it up, it seems like it's here when it's talking about it, that the wine is red, full of mixture, and poureth out the same, but the dregs thereof All the wicked of the earth shall wring them out. And oops, it seems like it's like judgment. What, any of you have anything on that?
I do. This is what mine says. This is real interesting.
Yes.
The cup of wine represents God's judgment. The judgment of God is coming against the wicked. God will pour out his fury on his enemies, and they will be forced to drink it. Drinking the cup of God's judgment is a picture used frequently in Scripture. It gives the impression of taking a dose of one's own medicine. Mm. To drink it down to the drugs means to be punished completely.
Mm. That's good.
Yeah, that
was. And you look when God's punishment.
Who's he punishing? Mm-hmm.
I really see it.
He's punishing the old man.
Yes, this is what, all right,
that's
go
what
on.
Oscar could yes. jump in about now with a monk.
Yes, because you see how his judgment is.
Yeah, by reading this, you would have probably 95 to 99% of the Christians saying, yeah, he's going to get those people that are bad. You know?
And it's always have to remember that the punishment, the goal is salvation.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. It's not the destruction.
Well, the only destruction is that flesh.
Right.
You know, it has to be destroyed, you know, and that's the cup that we have to
drink.
You know, it says the fellowship of his sufferings as well as, mm-hmm. you know, the, what's the resurrection part? In order to get the power of his resurrection, something's got to die.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when the apostles were, when they were young, they were talking to him, and he talked about a cup that he was going to have to drink.
Yes.
And I think that's the cup that he drank for us.
Mm-hmm.
He says, are you able to drink the cup, you know, that I'm going to drink? Oh, mm-hmm. yeah, we can do it with him. No, I don't think so. So, you know, the Lord's the one that drank the cup for us.
Mm-hmm.
He took it all at Calvary.
Yes.
And to me, that's what I see in this particular mm-hmm. verse. Of course, again, this is the old law, you know, and if you read it with a legalistic perspective, you know, you'll see man dying and bombs bursting and blood flowing mm-hmm. in the streets. But then when you flip over to the New Testament, the grace,
mm-hmm.
then Jesus says, I'm going to drink the cup for you.
Yes.
I mean, they did suffer a lot. There's no question about that.
And then we drink his blood
right.
in that cup.
Right.
Oh, yeah, when he brought it
up. Yeah, that was a red wine.
To remember him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And what he had done for us.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
For him drinking that cup.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Amen.
Representation of what he did.
Mm. And my amplified here in just several chapters and verses pertaining to the drinking of the wine from and it's red. Mm. It gives in Psalm 60, verse 3, and in Jeremiah 25, verse 15. Revelation chapter 14, verse 9
mm.
and 10, and Revelation 16, verse 19. And I just read the one in Revelation 14, and verse 10 says, he too shall have to drink of the wine of God's indignation, which is righteous anger and wrath, poured undiluted into the cup of his anger, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. And that's Genesis 19:24. It refers to that too. So.
Mm-hmm. And it's all, y'all see it, like you said, bringing us unto salvation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is, yes. And it says, but 16:19.
Chapter 16.
Revelation 16:19 says,
but with those verses that were tied in with this verse from 7
mm-hmm.
John.
Yeah. Yes.
Right there, that's where we're really talking about.
I think it's verse 8.
Mm-hmm. And then gives Psalms 60, verse 3, Jeremiah 25, verse 15,
mm-hmm.
Revelation chapter 14, verse 9 and 10.
What was Jeremiah?
16.
I'll look up Jeremiah. Jeremiah 25:15.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then Revelation chapter 16, verse 19. Give it all those. And then after I read that, chapter.
Revelations.
Mm-hmm. Because you read the one in Revelation 14, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It says Revelation chapter 16, verse 19.
And that says the mighty city was broken into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and God kept in mind mighty Babylon to make her drain the cup of his furious wrath and indignation. But all of it is, when you look at it, it's... you look at, well, he's a consuming fire. Well, mm-hmm. You're seeing God, and really, he's consuming us. That he's coming for us. Yeah. All righty, we're going through. We're going to finish this. So we're on, what, 9?
Yes,
that I will declare forever, and I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. What's the same and amplified?
Same thing you just said.
Does it say the exact same thing?
But I will declare and rejoice forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. That's what he was going to say.
No, it was the same thing in the amplified as in the King. What do you have in another translation?
Nine.
I'll give a message. I'm telling the story of God eternal, singing the praises of Jacob's God. The fists of the wicked are bloody stumps, the arms of the righteous are lofty green branches.
Mm.
Well, it's pretty much the same. It says, as for me, I will declare this forever. I will sing praise to the God of Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that the writer uses the God of Jacob, because by then Jacob was Israel, and we all know that the meanings of Jacob versus the meanings of Israel.
Yeah, but the God of Jacob was the God that he wrestled with.
Right. And it's always referred as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know.
But so you're trying to say what, that he's emphasizing the old Jacob instead of the new Israel?
I haven't really studied any of that, so I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just interesting that when Jacob's name was changed to Israel, you know, you're going from supplanter to...
Deceiver,
heel catcher, whatever, to...
Prince with God.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, which we are...
That's the difference between the old and the new.
But I'm just saying it's interesting how they keep referring after the fact that, you know, it's like if you call yourself Richard all the way up to a certain point, then you go Rich, then pretty much everybody calls you Rich because mm-hmm. you changed your name, or really didn't change it, but it's a different...
But really, it's a relationship, because those that call you Rich have come to know you. And they're looking at, so you're not Richard, that's so formal, you know. But the rich is because the relationship has changed. So we know you're rich.
Mm-hmm.
Julie really knows you. Rich. But it's relationship. You know how everybody has, when they talk about terms of endearment, I remember I worked with this one guy, and a little dwarf, when I worked... for the Champaign County Board of Development Disabilities, and he had a little name for everyone. And when I wrote, because we were going to recognize different employees for things they had achieved or mastered over during, you know, the year, and we had a banquet. And so when I wrote about him, because I had him in my group and all, and gave it to I forget what he was. He was in the front office and that. And so when he read it, he barked through. I had another copy, though, where I was talking about the different names he had. And he said, you don't have to read that. You don't have to put that in there. But when I got up to read it, I had another copy. I read the copy I had, because he edited my copy. And he didn't work with me, knowing like we knew him. And all of them loved the little names, because we saw him as terms of endearment, mm-hmm. which came from our relationship. And I believe, like, well, I was looking here when it's talking about Jacob. Well, he changed his nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He changes, and that's what God is doing with us. It's changing our very nature. And I saw that with him. I've got a cousin that has different names for all of us, different ones of us. Oh, I love the name he's got for me. He calls me his ageless cousin. I said, thank you.
Oh,
he's ageless. He always calls me, hi, beautiful. I love it. So, but it's come out of the relationship that I have with him. And I've been, you know, his mother was a cousin, just 2 years old, my older sister. And it comes out of the relationship is how he has these different names for all of us and how he sees each one of us. But I love the way he sees me. And we, yes. But we want so for Christ to be seen, you know, through us. And this is what we want people to admonish and look, not us, but the very character of Christ, that we're becoming him.
Well, even there in verse 9 where it says, but I will declare, when you look up that word declare, it means, to announce. It also says to have possession of something. You declare you have possession of something.
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
But then it also says, and to me, you know, it's one thing for us to declare something that we're saved, we have salvation, and to let people know, you know, the possession that we do have, the treasure that's in our earthen vessel. But, and that's good, but to me, another word there is to manifest.
Oh.
Okay? And to me, that's where the New Testament, it's kind of like when you're first growing in this thing and you're still kind of operating in a little bit of stone, a little bit of law inside of you. You know, we see our brothers. Saturday morning, Mars and I go to a pancake house and eat, and we pass by this one brother's house. And he's got all these flags on his car and these signs on his houses. Repent, you're going to hell. And, oh, he's very, you know. Now, he's
religious.
Declaring something.
Religious.
Okay. But I think really a New Testament saint, more than just telling somebody about what they've got, it also says to manifest what you possess. Okay. And I think that's kind of the difference between when we're walking, still walking in the letter, and that's okay because we do walk in the letter a lot even after we're saved. You know, again, I said this a couple of weeks ago in here, and you've all heard it, where St. Augustine said that he always wanted to discuss the Lord with people, and he said, and when I had to, I used words on occasion.
Yeah, because he was manifesting him.
Yeah,
yes.
So I think that word right there, declare, but I will declare, I think the Lord is saying he wants us to manifest this fruit of the Spirit instead of just grabbing somebody by the nap of the neck.
Can I go back to verse 1, second half of verse 1, for thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. If I sub out what I've heard here, name is nature, and God's nature is love.
Yeah.
For thy love is near, and thy wondrous works manifest.
That's good.
That's good. That's good.
What did I do?
It's the first verse.
Of Psalm?
That's 75.
And there, you know, there's some I've heard Brother Oscar say, if you never say it, you'll never have it. You know, there's some things.
If you what?
You never say it, you know, speak it, you'll never have it.
Yeah.
You know. And I can see there's things that sure we can look at ourselves and see, you know, things that are not Christ-like that he's dealing with, you know, in us. But we must look beyond that and really say, I'm a child of the King. I'm a priest.
You know, Jesus said that he didn't say anything unless he heard the Father. And that's what I stand on. You know, you hear the Lord speak it to your heart, then you confess it, you'll have it.
Yes. But there's some also, many times we have to speak these things to ourselves, that we're encouraging ourselves. We encourage ourselves in the Lord, because you know we're always going to be going through things that he is, this processing he's doing. So sometimes, I know I've had to encourage myself in the Lord, not what I'm seeing with this natural eye, but really speaking and believing, you know, but he's, we know he's doing, though we're not seeing the manifestation yet, but we know. Yes.
It also says we recount your wondrous deeds.
Yes. That's good. Yes. So good.
I think that's a reason the Old Testament God always told the old prophets not to speak to the children about the days gone by, about the parting of the Red Sea. And so
mm-hmm.
In other words, recant about the power of the glory
yes.
of God, pass it down from generation to generation.
Yes.
And I think it's good for us to share it with our children, you know, what God has done in our lives.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. Yeah, it did.
Well, I remember way back when.
Well, we might be going to end on the 10th and be. Somebody want to read the 10th verse?
I will cut off the horns of all the wicked, but the horns of the righteous will be lifted up.
All the horns of the wicked.
Mm-hmm. We'll cut off the horns of the wicked. And the horns of the uncompromisingly righteous shall be exalted.
I think horn means power. I didn't look it up, but I think that's what horns are symbolic of in scriptures.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So in other words, all the power of the wicked mm-hmm. will be cut off, but the horns of the righteous will be exalted.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Good stuff. Mm-hmm. I went in on that Jacob, and where it says that he prays, sing praises to the God of Jacob. I think the only thing I got was, he's God of all.
Mm-hmm.
So
amen.
He's got of Jacob, he's got of Israel, whatever name you want to throw out there.
He's got of rich and Jim.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Praise
exactly.
the Lord.
So.
Praise the Lord. All right, so I'm going to end it. Thank you, Jim.
Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord, that you bring your people out of the letter
yes.
and into the spirit.
Yes, Father.
Thank you, Lord, that you're bringing a people from just mouth worship and their life is worshiping you, Lord.
Yes.
Instead of their lips, their heart is worshiping you. Thank you, Lord, that we're in a time of great transition. Probably one of the most exciting times that the world has ever seen,
yes.
other than when Jesus Christ came to this earth 2,000 years ago.
Yes.
But now the world is going to see the full manifestation of what he did on Calvary's truth. What an exciting hour we are living. Father, we thank you for the living word that's coming
yes.
forth to this particular body right here, and even to all those hungry, seeking hearts all around the globe that this word is coming to. It's obvious, Lord, that people are sensing and feeling and hearing that a new day has dawned.
Yes.
And it's dawned in their hearts, Father. Not necessarily in the earth, but when it dawns in our heart, it's going to start dawning in the earth.
Yes.
Even as you were the word that came and was made flesh, and you dawned in the earth, Father, there is a people in this hour, a multitude of people that are blossoming and blooming in this hour.
Yes.
In every nation, tongue, throughout this earth. What an exciting hour. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will be with us in a particularly unusual and wonderful way this morning, Father, as we praise you and worship you, Father.
Yes.
And in the word, Father, as it comes forth from Brother Rich and even from the body, whoever, Father,
yes.
that you would choose to manifest yourself through. Because, Lord, we know it's the voice of many waters.
Yes,
it's not
Lord.
Just a one-man ministry anymore,
yes.
Father. And we all know and we appreciate that. So, Father, may every heart be attentive to what it is that you desire to say to them and through them this morning. for your glory, and everything be done to your praise and in order to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.